In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was getting really annoying. I mean, a toddler with an accordion in a studio apartment, annoying. It was getting old. Whatever that ungodly cry coming from the widow's mouth sounded like in our gospel reading, it made people uncomfortable. Sometimes crying makes people uncomfortable to begin with, just because you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say. Sometimes I can become uncomfortable with crying. Some people literally will say that they cannot deal with it. But what seems to be the most annoying thing is that this widow keeps doing it. Maybe they weren't so much uncomfortable with the fact that she was crying, but now it was just annoying. Now it was getting old. Now it was wearing old on them. They couldn't listen to it anymore. Sometimes that's what faith sounds like, though. We're not always cool, calm, and collected in our life, and we shouldn't expect that in our faith we're going to be cool, calm, and collected at all times either. I mean, that's the goal, but it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes faith sounds like a piercing scream rather than giggles and laughter or even silence. And I suspect that many of you probably been there before in your own personal lives. Maybe not literally shouting and crying and carrying on, but inwardly screaming with pain that won't go away. A pile of bills that cannot be paid. Addictions that just aren't being broken. Children who are desperately sick, parents who are losing the fight with cancer, a spouse who can't even remember your name anymore, a world that literally is anti-God. Sin just leaves everything undone. That's what it does. And it's pain and turmoil in this life, and the book of Ecclesiastes says it's all meaningless anyway. No matter how much we try to get out of it, it's always still there. We survive one episode of life only to go on to the next, and there's also going to be pain and turmoil there. And yeah, sometimes you just want to scream. Faith sometimes sounds like a scream, a cry, a shriek, even a croak from a broken voice. Because when it comes down to it, we see that we are not in control. We like to be in control. We like to have things together. We like to know what's coming up. We like when people listen and it goes our way, but it doesn't always happen. And then anxiety and worry grow. And as we talked about last week, that's when temptation starts to creep in. That's where the widow in the gospel reading today was. Screeching and screaming and carrying on and on and on and on. Finally, the disciples beg Jesus to send her away. Hey, Jesus, it's fine if you're not going to talk to her, if you're not going to do what you want to do, what she wants you to do for her, but at least send her away. And it's not that we're uncomfortable with her crying. It's not that we don't feel for her, but this is getting annoying. She's been following us for the past 5 miles screaming. After all, if Jesus wasn't going to say anything, apparently God wasn't going to either, so she just kept on screeching away. She kept at it, even when the answer wasn't coming. It was either that or go back home and watch her child writhe and squirm on the floor. Even when she heard Jesus say that he was only sent for the lost ones of Israel, she kept on screeching. And then on top of all, Jesus calls her a dog, which has very many connotations even today. It seems that only then, and yes, only then, through bloodshot eyes and tears and torn cheeks and maybe through some half sobs and sighs and a voice that's broken from all the screeching and crying, she says something different. She makes a different sound, not a shrieking sound. She says words. And those words say, "Yes, Lord." She agrees with Jesus. Now that's faith. A faith that agrees with Jesus' assessment of the situation. That yeah, we're a dog. Every one of us. And not Fido back home, not the nice clean one, but the mongrel homeless kind. we're sinners. And she's willing to admit it. And yet in faith we don't back down when we don't get an answer. We don't back down when the answer seems to be bad and not what we want. And we most certainly do not back down when the outcome doesn't go our way. Because faith trusts that Jesus is gracious and merciful. Great faith looks to Jesus as the only one who can help and makes things right. And it's only in Jesus that we have the trust that in His way, in His time, everything will be all right and everything will be made whole. It's very tempting to look at faith as something that we conjure up from within our own willpower. I'll just believe hard. It's very enticing to see faith as something that we do. As in, we're going to cognitively think about Jesus harder. That faith is something that we possess from a self-generated form of faith, self-discipline gland or something. And so then, in the midst of difficult times, when we don't seem to be able to pull that feeling of faith out of us, or we start to believe that we don't have enough faith, or that we need to believe harder, or somehow get God to do something big in our life, we got to get God to pay attention to us, we end up even further down the road of despair because we're always trying to pull it out of us. We're always trying to search deeper into ourselves to find the answer, and you're only going to find more and more of the same. You're going to find more of your sinful nature there. And yet this is how we talk about faith all the time. We see it all over the place, whether it's on the Christian radio station or not, that faith is somehow just something that, oh, you just do. But that's not the point of our gospel reading. The point of the gospel reading is not to create this impression that the woman has somehow conjured up a great faith by her own willpower and will just follow Jesus no matter what. But rather, the point of the gospel reading is the greatness of the one in whom she had faith. That is to say, the point is that the Canaanite woman looked to Jesus to help her and nowhere else. Because that's what great faith does. It doesn't go inside of ourselves trying to find better feelings and emotions. It goes to Jesus. Great faith looks to Jesus. It clings to Him. It doesn't listen to the lies of Satan. It doesn't listen to the lies of ourself that says, well, yeah, I just try harder. Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. I'll just be better. Having a great faith doesn't mean that you have your life together at all times. Having great faith doesn't mean that you're super self-confident in everything that is about to happen in life. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen in life. Nor is it about pretending that everything is fine when clearly it is not fine. When clearly sin is breaking us. The woman in the lesson knew that everything wasn't fine, but she trusted that there was one who could make it fine. Even if it wasn't in her timing and her way. Great faith looks at the nastiness in life and confesses, Heavenly Father, this seems really bad. In fact, this is horrible. I don't know if I can deal with this on my own, and I'm sure I can't. And you seem cold, you seem far away, you may even be calling me a dirty dog, but you are all alone are my help. You alone have the answers. Your son was nailed to a tree for me, and so I cling to him. Help me, Father. Do with me as you will. I am yours. That is a great faith. A great faith is a struggle, and I won't pretend that I have such a great faith. It's not always so easy and perfect to lay out in words. But I can tell you where great faith starts. It starts with the Word of God. And trust that what God ordains is always good. And for our good, even if it tastes bitter now. Great faith starts at the altar. Hanging tightly to the one crucified for you, placed in your mouth for you to eat as food and drink as drink. Trusting that His body and blood is for you and for your good. And it hangs its hat there. Faith hangs its hat that you've been baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and are indeed His child. Doesn't matter what you're feeling. Doesn't matter what the world is saying. It trusts what it's given and bread and wine, body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And it trusts the Word of God. Not those inner feelings of doubt. Not on what we have done or accomplished, but what's been accomplished for us. Trusting and trusting and trusting. Yeah, even if it is with screeches and cries. That faith is put in you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, because it was put in you in your baptism, and it's strengthened even now. So may God give us all such great faith as this Canaanite woman. May we cling to Jesus alone. Amen.